like to call this meeting to order. It's the City of Palm Coast. This is a special business meeting. It is Tuesday, March 12, 2019. It is 9 a.m. Please join me in the Pledge Allegiance to the flag. Joined by Skype today with our consultant from SGR, Doug. Would you like to say hi?
Good morning. It's probably a little warmer there in Florida than it is up here in Minneapolis, Minnesota area. It was about 12 degrees this morning, so hopefully you're a little warmer there.
Well, I would like to say I feel bad, but I don't.
No.
I know. It's the beauty of living in Palm Coast.
Two of us.
Okay, we are going to get to agenda item number D, which is the selection of the next city manager. I am going to open it up for discussion by our council. We've had lengthy meetings. We've had lengthy interviews. As I said previously, the consultant and their team really have done their job well because this was a challenging decision. Not easy by any means, and the candidates that we had short selected really brought a lot of value to the process. So thank you for that. I'm going to open it up for discussion by our council.
Well, like hard to be the first one, eh?
First is okay.
Let me start by saying that I didn't sleep at all last night. This is probably one of the biggest decisions that will impact the most people that I've ever had in my life. Not easy. We had four beautiful candidates. Not an easy decision. Not an easy decision. I tend to like two of them, which I'm in a little bit, I'm going to speak about them a little more. Out of the four, two actually impressed me the most. But I'm going to give my colleagues the opportunity to talk before we start throwing out names and mention anything. So, therefore, when it comes time to start mentioning names, I will.
Perfect.
Sure, absolutely. I just wanted to kind of explain where I was at and talk a little bit about what I thought about the candidates and understand that we're all on the same page and make sure that I can transfer the knowledge, at least where I'm thinking I'm at. So I was very impressed by a few of the candidates as well, and one in particularly that I thought could positively impact the potential trajectory of the city, not necessarily in a city manager role, but perhaps in a different position at the city. I also think there were several strong candidates for the position of city manager, and I think that this is an opportunity for us as a city to make a decision that we want to do something new, we want to put ourselves on a path for success, and we want to ensure that we get our goals and strategic action plan items accomplished. I was very happy with the quality of candidates. So, Mr. Thomas, thank you very much for providing a plethora of qualified candidates. I appreciate that. Made our decision easy and hard at the same time. Hard that we had a tough decision, but easy knowing that no matter what decision we came to, that we were going to be okay as a city. So I'm very thankful for that. So thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Nick.
The quality of the candidates that we pared down is a kind of a tribute to SGR and your search for the best possible folks to fill this position. And it certainly, after listening to each of the presentations, was a very enlightening moment, or I should say day, for me. All of them came strong. All of them have their strengths, and some have a few weaknesses. But I would say that, you know, as far as making a decision, this is relatively easy for me. Having sat on several promotion boards in my career in the Marine Corps, and also in the law enforcement side of the house, and then in combat, where decisions are life and death, so I can make the decisions. And it's going to be tough, but I'm prepared when we throw the vote. Okay.
Member Cuff.
Yeah, I could gas on for quite a while, but I don't know that there's a whole lot of point in doing that. I agree with the prior comments. I was impressed with three of the four I was impressed with all of the finalists, although I think from Councilmember Klufas's comments, I think we are all in a consensus that there are really three finalists at this point. Maybe I'm overstepping and getting ahead to things, but they were all very qualified, and I enjoyed meeting them all, and they all have good skill sets. I think where I came down after hearing them all is I know we are all looking for the best candidate for the city. I know we are looking for change. I know we were looking for somebody that we feel can help us manage change and being more innovative as a city. But at the end of all of the deliberation, and unlike Eddie, I did sleep a couple hours last night, but I tossed and turned for a good many of them, as well as over the weekend after participating in the interviews. And I guess where I come down is ultimately it's the responsibility of this council to be innovative. If we're looking for a city manager who is going to save the city of Palm Coast or be the white knight on the horse or be the Elon Musk who's going to, you know, put our giant Garfield statue into orbit around the sun to show what a great place we are, we're slacking off on our job. What I think we need to focus on is which of the three finalists we feel is best able to cooperate with us, execute the policies that we decide on, and implement the innovation that we come up with. It's not that I don't expect staff, both the city manager and department heads, and even the folks out pulling weeds in the media, to come up with ideas that they think are good for the city. Ultimately, it's the citizens that make those choices by electing us. But as far as the city manager candidate, the candidates are concerned, the decision that I have made at this point is the one that I think is the best for the 85,000 people who live here and is the person that I feel is the best equipped and best qualified from the experience and from our interactions with them to carry out the policies of this council, not to make policies on their own or to have any hidden agendas that they're going to try to sneak around the taxpayers or around the taxpayers' elected representatives. So obviously, Madam Mayor, you have not had an opportunity to speak, and I don't want to preempt anything, but that's, you know, I have a lot of things that have guided my thinking and a lot of cute, you know, movie and song lyric references and so forth, including an obituary from this morning's newspaper that helped me reach my decision. But rather than bore everybody with that, I've said enough for now.
Well, I will say I think that I expected nothing less of this council than the offerings put forth thus far. I, too, share in the difficult deliberation process of coming to this point in time in our city. You know, we went into this, and I look back on the reasoning of why the termination of our former city manager occurred. And there were many reasons, in my opinion, but one of them was really the place and time we were at in our city, what was needed and necessary to push us further ahead than what we were seeing happen, some of the challenges that I felt that were not being addressed, particularly, you know, in how we do business day to day and how we view the private sector coming into our walls of our city hall to do business has been challenging. I look at other communities and the success of those communities and how they came about reaching their target and their goals. And you are right, Councilmember Cuff. The City Council is here to set the policy, to set the vision, to continue to coordinate with our residents, to understand what their priorities look like, and we hire that individual that can put together a team of experts, if you will, in those different departments that can follow through and provide quality, excellent service for our community. Innovative is an interesting term for me. I get to live it each and every day in my private world of my job, but also in my public world as mayor. I think there's a lot of great opportunity we have in our city that we're not tapping into and have not tapped into in some time. So I believe we're in a crossroads that will give us the ability to go in one direction or another. And at the end of the day, I think the residents of this community deserve the best that we can offer them. So I am leaning towards one candidate over the other. I don't mind saying that I think my selection at this time would be Matt Morton. I believe that Matt brings about some exciting opportunities for us. I think he brings about a new set of eyes, a new way of looking at things, but I also think he brings about a good foundation of principles and management style that I think we can thrive under. And so that would be, my choice. We are not going to be taking ballot measures. We are actually going to be putting a motion on the floor for consideration. So if any other council member wants to expand on that, I would love to hear.
Yes, if I may. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. So one of the strongest emotions that I felt over this weekend when I was looking back at the one-on-one interviews and then also the group interviews that we had, I thought some of the candidates performed better in the group environment than I thought they were going to. But the most substantial thing that I took away from our existing interim city manager, Bo, is that there are only 178 municipal broadband utilities in the country run by their city. Mr. Culey is unhappy with where he is, and he's been so for a little while, if what I extrapolated out of my one-on-one interview with him. So my question is, why didn't we find Donald Culey? This is a guy who has the potential to at least turn our municipal broadband utility from having people owe thousands and thousands of dollars to something that can flourish. And as a council, we had set a pretty clear vision that our fiber infrastructure was going to be a backbone to our future, and the possibilities that were going to be opened up by expansion and adoption of our fiber network were really going to allow our city to grow in the way that we wanted. And that was one of the biggest questions that I was asking myself over the weekend, is there's only so many of these individuals out there. If I had to strategize how to find the best person, why not just send 178 letters to all of the directors of the broadband utilities? If we're trying to attract the best, we need to ensure that it's coming, the direction is coming from the top down. And I know that it's probably not Bo who's directly responsible for trying to recruit these people. But at the same time, as a council, we're unable to have influence over any of the directors or any other city business. The city manager is the person who we go through. So I had quite the revelation when I started to look at it from that perspective, that we need to attract the best talent, and talent follows talent. So this is a perpetual cycle that could put the city on a great road for success. So, Ms. Mayor, I am in agreement with you. I think that we need a shift in direction, but we also need to ensure that we are fully invested in our technology position to the city, because I honestly believe that is what's going to take us to the next level. Yep. So I would also like a little bit of a discussion about the possibilities of trying to ensure that we can still attract Donald Culey to Palm Coast so that he can take our municipal broadband utility to the next level. So in my opinion, we definitely need Donald Culey, but I also think Donald Cooley needs to be paired to someone who's an innovator and a leader, and not necessarily that I don't believe that is Bo, but I think a fresh direction in our city might be exactly what we're looking for. And honest truth is that when I look at the situation and I ask myself, why couldn't we get Donald Cooley to begin with, I don't have an answer. If our council does, I would love to hear it. I think this is a good discussion point, because I honestly am perplexed a bit by that.
If I may, if you notice, one of the questions I made sure I asked every one of the candidates was if they knew Magellan and were they comfortable with it. We all met with Magellan. At this point, I'm depositing my trust in Magellan's to lead us that way. I do have two people that I really didn't want to lose, and I'm at this point going to say who they are. The one that impressed me the most, to be honest with you, was Matthew Morton. This gentleman, I threw him curveballs on private. Anything I did, he came up with the right answers, the ones that I really think that are going to lead this city to where we really want to do. Innovative, vibrant, knowledgeable. But I don't want to lose Bo either. Just my opinion. And that's my indecision. That is my indecision. Maybe if we hire, this is just food for talk while we're here, if I may, if we hire Morton, Mr. Morton, with all due respect, is Bo going to stay with us? Or is he going to leave?
Contract.
He's got it. The question is, once we hire somebody else, is he going to departure? Bo right now, he's got a lot of institution knowledge. A person I like. To the point that when to be honest with you, I don't know if it was even fair for me to be asking him questions that I already knew the answer. Maybe that tainted a little bit of my interview with him, to be honest. And I'm being strictly honest, because that's the only way I could be at this point. This is the biggest decision I've probably made in my life. We're talking about almost 500 people that work for the city, that we don't know what the new man's going to bring, if we have a new man. And 90,000 people out there, for God's sakes, that they actually deposited on us the trust to do this. And guess what? I didn't sleep last night thinking about, am I going to make God help me? And I went for God. God help me to make this decision. Okay? And I don't want to lose neither one of these two guys, to be honest with you. I don't want to lose it. Right now, to be honest with you, I'm tempting. I'm thinking Matthew Morton, and hopefully he'll keep up. But maybe somebody else could change my mind here in a way that I think Ben Bowich, one of these two is going to be right now, my choice. By the time I get to vote, one of them is going to be my choice. But this is how I feel.
Yes, I labored over all four of them. I understand where Nick, I think, is coming from on Don Cooley. But with all due respect to the skill set that he has, I do not see him as a city manager. And I think we need to find a city manager and then need to discuss with that person whether or not Don Cooley or somebody else like Don Cooley would be someone who should be working for the city of Palm Coast. I don't think picking Don in all, I mean, to be fair to Don, he was the only one of the 178 broadband managers, municipalities in the country that we interviewed because he thought he was being interviewed to be the city manager, but I don't see that as a realistic possibility. I mean, he may be great at what he does, I get the feeling he is, but he's a skilled player, he's a one-trick pony for the most part, not a manager of an organization our size. Of the other three candidates, certainly I know Bo. I was impressed by Bo. I was impressed by Matt Morton's enthusiasm. I was impressed by Robin Hayes's experience and skill set and transferable skills. But I didn't see that any three of them were overwhelmingly superior to the other in terms of what they would bring to the city of Palm Coast. The argument for Matt or Robin is they're the new hotness. They're your new crush. girl or the guy that just moved into town and you see him in high school, and that's what's going to make your life perfect from now on. The song lyric I was thinking of is from Fountain of Sorrow, where Jackson Brown says, "You go running off in search of the perfect stranger." And despite all of the background that Doug has provided us in our interviews, Matt Morton and to an extent Robin Hayes are the perfect stranger. But I don't see that either of them brings a professional background that gets us anything that we don't already have with Bo. And what they don't bring us is they don't bring us, in my opinion, someone who has proven their commitment and investment, not just to working for the city of Palm Coast, because I don't think you'd have too much trouble, other than maybe our traffic engineer filling jobs that pay what we pay and have benefits that we have, but to the community. I'm not saying that Matt wouldn't do a good job leading us, but my impression, and I don't mean this as a, I guess I do mean it as a criticism of his style. After 17 years with ITT, I heard a lot of management jargon. I heard a lot of buzzwords, and that doesn't mean there isn't substance to back it up, but my background makes me inherently suspicious, both as a corporate lawyer and as a lawyer, because I've had smoke blown up my dress by some of the best over 45 years. And I'm not saying that Matt was doing that intentionally. He certainly conveys enthusiasm and commitment and whatever. But again, I think hiring him and hoping he'll keep Bo, because we don't want to lose Bo, but we want to get somebody who's new and flashy and shiny, would be a mistake. I haven't heard anybody else mention Robin Hayes. I liked her a lot. I think she has an excellent skill set. But again, I don't see that bringing her over here from Mount Dora would get us anything that we don't already have in-house. And to be fair to all the candidates, I'm always inherently suspicious of somebody that already has a good job and a great relationship with their city council and wants to come here. I mean, Matt is unemployed, so of course he wants a job, and of course he's enthusiastic about finding one. And I don't say that as a criticism of Matt at all. I've had stretches in my resume where I couldn't, show continuous employment over 50 years. But I don't see the new pair of eyes with the skill set that either of those people would bring that would get us anything that we don't already have. And as I said earlier, my take on this is we need somebody that we are comfortable can execute the policies that we decide on and the innovations that we bring. If our in-house person was my age and didn't know how to work a smartphone, I wouldn't think them capable of handling technological innovation that I agree is something we need and we need badly. But I don't think any of the three candidates I've just discussed wouldn't be able to handle that. And in the end, in my analysis and my tossing and turning and so on and so forth, I know if Bo is the final selection, we're all going to get criticized. Oh, the good old boys won again. It's a fix. It's, insider politics. But I don't consider that at all when I look at Bo and I compare him to the other two people I consider to be finalists. I see someone who came here maybe just because he wanted a job, but who over those years that he's been with the city and been a resident of Palm Coast, I see a person in the prime of their career who is committed to this community, who has started a family here like I did 30 years ago, and who has something invested here in Palm Coast as a place and as a city, not just as another line on their resume in 5 years when they want to move on to someplace else. So, I'm sure if Bo is the selection, we're all going to have to take the snipey emails and the comments in the press and the comments online about, oh, they did it again, they had a chance to make Palm Coast great, and they didn't take it. But in my mind, whoever we hire isn't going to make Palm Coast great unless we're willing to set the policy and work with them and make sure that the initiatives and the innovation that we want to see brought to city government here in Palm Coast are carried out. I think the citizen portal and the initiative we're doing there is wonderful, and we need it desperately. I don't think any of the three of them are going to be any better or worse at making sure that works. Fiber optic, we need more innovative ways of monetizing it and using it as an ad for the city to attract the coastal clouds and the high-tech businesses. And I don't see that any of the three people that I've just kind of run down are any better or worse at doing that than any other. I mean, in the end, all of those things, the high-tech, the whatever, are just improved means to an unimproved end. If we don't have the vision, if we can't sell our vision to the citizens of Palm Coast and they don't get behind it, I'm not saying it doesn't matter who is the city manager. I think it matters a great deal. But to me, if I've got three candidates that all impress me, that all are credible hires, I'm going to go with the one that I think has demonstrated their commitment to Palm Coast, not just as a paycheck, but as a place to live, a place to put down roots, and a place to have a stake in whether all this wonderful stuff we're talking about that we want happens or not. So that's where I come down. I mean, my first choice is Bo, and I think if we offer the job to one of the others and condition it on them condition it on them making a commitment to keep Bo on as our assistant or in some other role, we're doing them a disservice. You know, we have a charter that says what we do as far as city hiring and firing, and as much as I'd like to hire all four of them, to be honest with you. I'd love to have Don Cuban in here helping us run our fiber optic network and make it better. I liked, and it didn't come out in the interviews, but I liked Robin Hayes' comments about the city golf course and the private golf course in Mount Dora that I didn't even think to ask her about until after the interviews were over. I liked Matt Morton's enthusiasm, but in the end, the one person that I think has the skill set, together with a demonstrated commitment to Palm Coast, not just as a paycheck or a line on the resume, but as a place that they've invested in personally as well as professionally, is our interim city manager. And I think he has my support and he deserves all of our support. And that's my way of looking at it.
I agree with Bob 100% here. As you know, I've been high on Bo. But that being said, I was very, very surprised to see in face, in person, the candidates that we had. But that being said, Matt, without a doubt, has a lot of talent, but he doesn't have the experience that we need for a city our size. And with Bo, he's been here for 9 years. He knows our system, and he has been smart enough to distance himself from anything that Mr. Landon had imposed, and so that Bo can be his own person. And I've talked to Bo, and I've said to him, what you need to do is embrace the good things that Jim Landon taught you, but also be aware of the things that fall into the negative category so you can, you've had this experience now. All of us have worked with Bo since he's been the interim manager. I have never found anything that he has failed to do when I asked him. He's prompt with his responses. But more importantly, here's an opportunity to take a young city manager and mold him into being a really great manager with your skills, back at the county with your skills in Tallahassee, you can mentor him to higher levels. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because he respects your background, as I do. You know, every time you say something that you pull out of here, so wow, where'd she get that from? And of course, I know from your background experience. And so, and Nick, with your background and the computers and the fiber optics, Culey's a good guy, without a doubt. And I agree with you. We should try to, find a Culey-type guy. The only thing that I found about Mr. Culey was that he lacked force. And if you're going to be a manager, you got to have a little bit of force, when you tell something to a subordinate that this needs to be done. And it can't be like, hey, buddy, would you please do this? There's a way to handle it, but you got to be more forceful. And I just think that he lacked that. And the experience. Again, we're looking at a city that's approaching, in the near few years, 100,000. The rest we'll know here in 2020 where we're at with the census. But everything that Bob has said is right on the numbers. I'd rather work with a known entity and give him a shot. Let him run. Let the horses out of the stable and let him be his own person. Right now, of course, he hasn't been able to demonstrate that too much because he doesn't know where he's going to be after today. But I would venture to say, if I'm a betting man, he's the guy. And I talked to my wife about this. And my wife is a poker player, and she wins. She was at the National Poker Series in Las Vegas, and she wins. She's a little mouse, a little tiny thing, but she wins, and she's a good read on people, which you have to be in poker. And she watches these meetings and what have you, and she says, he's you're right. He can be molded into a champion. So it's up to us to mentor him. Eddie, with your background and experience in leadership, all of us have something at stake here. So I would say I second, with Bob. I want to see Bo. And no, nobody whispered in my ear at some bar or whatever saying, hey, you got to vote for Bo. I'm prepared to take the heat. I know what it's going to look like. But then again, I trust my friends in the media to call it straight because there was no outside influence. Nobody told me I better do this or better do that. And if the heat comes, hey, I got fire retardant trousers.
Okay, so can I rebuke just a couple of points? Because I think we hit on similar points. But you talk about force, and that's what I see lacking in Bo, in my opinion. That's where I see a problem. And the opportunity and I only speak for myself, that I've given him to show me that he's our guy, would have just been going out when we had the initiative by our city council before we agreed to take on Magellan as our partner to lead our fiber initiative. We were looking for someone like Donald Culey. That's a fact. We were looking for a project manager that was going to manage our broadband utility. Over the next 5 years, if we don't accelerate our position in our municipal broadband utility, we're going to be like every other city. And that is the vision that I sold to Palm Coast when I was running for election, and that's where I feel that we have the most capability and room for growth. And it's not that there's a lack of fire. It's just that there's exactly what you're saying about Donald, except that I see that in Bo. And I wouldn't disagree that Donald doesn't have that force that we're speaking of, but I don't think his position requires that. But I do see that necessary in a leader. And I don't necessarily see those attributes in Bo. And what I would like for Bo to have said during his presentation is, here are the things that I would have done or would have presented over the last 160 days that probably would have been pretty controversial, but maybe not all five of us would have liked it. Might have been a 3-2, just on consensus for the direction for him to receive. But tell us what you would have done differently if you weren't worried about possibly influencing the decision that was going to have to be made by our council for the position of city manager. In my eyes, I have given him the opportunities to accelerate our broadband utility, and that is, I'm highly focused on that. And there are very measured goals that I've been evaluating, and that is where I come off.
Well, I appreciate your comment, but I would ask you one thing. You're a young guy, mm-hmm. and how many leadership positions have you been in where you've had more than two or three people that were subordinate to you?
I'm up here with you, aren't I?
Yeah, right. That's right. But I'm talking about a leadership where, you know, aside from the city council, I mean, in your workplace, because that's where you develop.
Absolutely. I'm a lead software engineer. I have 800 engineers underneath me.
800, okay. All right. That's great. Now, in my background as a colonel of Marines, I've had a little bit about 2,000 and some people. Okay. And as a platoon commander in Vietnam, I had 50. So, you know, you learn leadership and you teach leadership, and that's where I come from. Nobody can question my background in leadership because I've excelled in my career. You're on the learning curve, okay? I know, you know, because you're a young guy. This is great here, but people.
So the one comment I would ask is, I don't really want to get into it debating here, but you didn't sit down with these individuals one-on-one.
Didn't have to.
You're that good of a read on people, you didn't have to sit down with them?
I didn't have to, son.
I think we want to stick to
the
conversation. And let me just say, I mean, again, I think we need to understand that each one of us sitting up here, I trust their input. I know each and every one of our council members actually very well. And I actually listen intently to their input because they each bring a different perspective. And the different perspective makes us as a whole a governing body that frankly will drive the best outcomes. So we just need to keep that, you know, as part of the discussion when we're thinking this through. And let me add to the conversation a little bit what my thinking of Bo is. I mean, there's not a single person up here that would not say they don't like Bo personally. Bo is a great guy. He is. He's a family man. I do not think he would lead this city astray ethically in any way, shape, or form. I think he holds very tightly to his beliefs, and I respect that. Where I come down on this issue, again, and Bo brought it up in his presentation to us. He's had 171 days, he said it a few times, as an interview, you know, whether it be fair or unfair, that was the position that he was put in, and that was the position he chose to compete in, was to demonstrate his leadership abilities and capabilities. I think there's some real strengths to Bo, and I think there's some weaknesses. The weaknesses do come out of the fact he has learned from one individual, and he doesn't know what he doesn't know, right? We gain our strengths and our abilities during our life process through different people, through different leadership roles. You know, when I was a lobbyist, I learned from 24 different partners who spent their career in government, and I was surrounded by tremendous people that I gained a lot of input from and value every day. As similarly, when I was on the county commission, and I will say there's a consequence to making the wrong decision, and that's why I weigh this so heavily. The consequences are being seen in Flagler County right now under leadership that, frankly, has put the county in a very vicarious position. And I don't think necessarily Bo would bring that type of leadership, but I do think his weaknesses are one of not being able to reach outside these boundaries of our city, of our county, or even our state, for that matter, to be able to put in place some initiatives that would help catapult us. I mean, Nick, you said it well. I mean, 112 broadband across the country. Why, for the last 12 years, that has not been taken advantage of and really put us and excelled us in our trajectory, I'm still question that, frankly. I question the fact of why we're perceived so unbusiness friendly. I have some ideas of why, but I've talked to Bo about that, and I've talked to him about it over the last 171 days, where my frustration lies in regards to us having this perception, and frankly, not just perception, because I've worked with the business community. I've had to walk them through our doors, our doors of City Hall, in order to get some effective changes, which should never happen, by the way. We should have things in place right now that don't make it challenging to do business in our city. We should have things in place that don't make it frustrating for an entrepreneur to come in and open up their doors in our city. Now, part of that was we had a city manager for 12 years that perhaps stifled those opportunities and didn't recognize that we needed to pivot and change. And something Matt Morton said that stuck with me in my one-on-one interviews with him really was about that sense of Amazon, right? That if we as a government can't recognize that as the advancements of technology occur, we need to be ready and poised to take on those opportunities, and we need to set up the foundation in order to do that. I liked Robin Hayes a lot, actually. I liked her presentation. I liked her approach. But to your point, Councilmember Cuff, I think it was like speaking to Bo almost. It was interchangeable about the government speak, as I call it. Government speak can be very frustrating because there's two ways to solve a problem. And when you use government to solve the problem, oftentimes it's delayed, slow, and never really happens. I think what Matt spoke about in his presentation really was about recognizing today's challenges in the competitive environment that exists today. And I don't necessarily think, and I don't have confidence, that we're going to be able to pivot our government in an effort to take advantage of those opportunities. I think we're doing it slowly, and maybe we're inching along, but the fact of the matter is, and I do, you know, take your comments seriously about, you know, the good old boys. I don't think that exists here. I've not sat on this council and had a conversation with anybody that thinks we're doing this, anything we're doing, based upon, you know, what the general public is perceiving us as doing. But what I do take very seriously is the fact that if we don't take this opportunity, this moment in time of shift and change, and really put in a game changer decision maker that can really develop new approaches to our priorities, Let me say that again. We have our priorities. It's how you approach those priorities are going to define us. And I think Bo has had the opportunity to define us during his short window of opportunity to you know, Vice Mayor Kloof's point of saying during his presentation, he could have said, I would have done this, this, and this. I would have taken that strategic plan and I would have dissected and say, you know what, Council, this is historically what has frustrated you. This is what I will do differently. And his was the same presentation. His was, in 181 days, I'll negotiate our contract for fiber. To me, that is a government answer. You know, I'll give another example. You know, during our workshop, we'll have a discussion about Grand Haven and our interlocal agreement around trees. That was a frustrating conversation that took place day two of Bo being interim city manager, where Steve Davidson, Dr. Davidson, the president of the CDD of Grand Haven, who represents 4,200 residents in our city, came in and was frustrated about tree issues that were ongoing. And they didn't get the response historically they wanted to from our previous city manager. Bo handled the meeting well, frankly, day one. But what happened after that was a series of frustration of slow-moving conversations by the CDD in our city. And Steve Davidson kept calling me and saying, what is the holdup here? Why does it take this long to get an interlocal agreement drafted and put before you? To me, those are the things I want to change, which with our approaches. I want us to view things differently. And my hope, by spending some time, would be that the approach would be different. Our priorities are our priorities. They are going to be our priorities because we've developed those priorities because of our backgrounds, because of what we've heard from the public, and we're basing those priorities on what we want to see happening moving forward in our city. I don't think that we are going to become business-friendly or perceived business-friendly overnight, but I do think it's going to take a new approach to how we do business in order to do that. And I don't think it's going to be under former leadership by looking at it and viewing it in the same way. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'll use Tuscan Gardens as a good example. Tuscan Gardens is a beautiful assisted living facility that just opened up its doors. They called me about a year and a half ago because they needed their CO by a certain deadline because they invested millions of dollars for marketing strategies to get some people that wanted to reside in that center. They had concerns because they did business with the city previously and didn't get the outcomes that they were looking for in a timely manner. So I said, give me the outstanding items, put it on an agenda, we'll get every department together in one room. They met with every department. I said, once a week, I want an updated status on how we're making our progress. Now, A, I shouldn't have to do that, frankly. I mean, I'm the mayor of the city, but I'm also part of this council as a policymaker. The problem is, I have done that time and time again in the last 2 years of me being mayor because of the frustration of the private sector. So you want to know where the private sector lands on this? They want to see change. They want to see change in a significant way on how we approach doing business. They're not saying cut corners. They're not saying give us a pass. No one has ever approached me to say, we want this done. What they have said is, please help us. We can't get this through. This is money to us. Time is money to us. And the longer it goes, the longer it actually just lingers. And the longer that we lose taxable revenue to provide services to our residents. So that has been the needle I've not been able to move. And it's been a big needle, but I have not seen the approach that would make me feel comfortable sitting here today that I could say with confidence that this is the direction we need to go. And that's what I'm saying. I am willing to give Matt Morton a chance because our consultant has done the due diligence and the background in order to hand us these candidates to say, we would not give you these candidates if we did not feel strongly they could do this. If they could not do the job, we are not going to give them to you. If they do not, you know, qualify for this moment in time, for this position, we are not going to forward their names to you. So that's where I stand, and I know I got a little passionate about it, but that has been my experience for 2 years of sitting in this seat.
And if I
just wanted to add that. There's a couple of things that I asked Matthew Morton, and a couple of things he said that really stuck to me. And one of them was, government must be stable but never stand still. This guy wants to move forward. How do you say it,
Colonel?
We can't do that anymore. But anyway, he had an idea that actually would be good for us, which what I asked him about, in-state taxes, internet taxes. If you buy anything within the state via internet, the taxes would be paid. Let's say you live in Palm Coast, the taxes would be paid in Palm Coast, not where you bought it from. Let's say you bought it from Tampa. You'll pay it. That would be a good idea. That was some money, something, some innovation to bring money. I also asked about problem solving. Would he solve problems just based on available resources? Or would he do it with innovative ideas? Okay. And his answer was phenomenal. And then, when I asked the question regarding what could be the most stupid question out there, but I thought was viable, if I would come up to him, and I asked the question to everybody else, if I would come up to him with a most stupid idea, the thing that made no sense, as a councilman, bring it up to him. Would he sugarcoat the answer, or would tell me to my face what he was? And out of the four, he had the best answer. He was not in fear of answering me. And that I liked about him, too. I still think I hate to lose any one of these guys, to be honest with you. But I'll reserve my comments a little more.
I appreciate your passion, Mayor. I understand, I think, where you're coming from. I guess where I come down, and I've thought about that a lot, my short list, when I really shortlisted, was Matt Orbo. And in the end, again, no offense to Matt, but I also want to make sure we're fair to Bo. You know, my comments about, oh, the good old boys, no, I have the same experience you do. There's no smoky back room where we all violate the sunshine law and make these decisions with, you know, whatever. But, you know, Bo will be, if he is appointed, will be perceived as the safe choice, the legacy choice. We're never going to change anything. It's the same old, same old. My concern is, yes, I liked Matt's answers to a lot of our questions, but I can't help thinking that if he'd been here for 180 days innovating, we wouldn't be any farther along than we are with Bo being in the same position. The city manager's job, I think I said this a month or so ago, is like being the cabin boy for the Dread Pirate Roberts. You know, good job today, Wesley. Sleep tight. I'll probably kill you in the morning. You know, not that I think we ought to just change city managers like, you know, I change my ties or whatever. But I just, as much as I liked Matt, as much as I heard him use all the jargon that I would expect anybody that reads Florida Trend or City Manager magazines or Quality Communities or whatever, basically what I assume anybody that belongs to ICMA would read, we have nothing. I didn't see anything in his background that made me think that he was going to be the new hotness, and that in another year, with him versus Bo, we were going to be any farther along than we are now. I do feel the frustration of not being able to drive change or to go as quickly as we want to. And, you know, maybe he'd have less invested in the city and be willing to shake things up more than Bo has been. But I don't see a fundamental skill set in Matt that's as good as Bo's. To Eddie's comment, yes, I like to hear innovative answers to questions, but changing the state sales tax law to capture Amazon sales here in Palm Coast isn't something the city manager of Palm Coast has any control over whatsoever. I mean, you know, cities, we're having all we can do with our legislative lobbyists to keep our state legislature from repealing home rule every time they're in session for 60 days. So, yeah, it's a great innovative answer, but to me, it displays his lack of, I don't want to say substance, because I really liked the guy, and I think he had some good experience out there. I loved his explanation of the equestrian park and the private-public partnership on that. But I don't see what we get by taking a chance on Matt, other than taking a chance on Matt and getting patted on the head by the folks that think the new hotness is going to make us great and wonderful.
Mr. Cuff, if I can ask you a question. Do you think any one of those candidates actually did provide the opportunity to be the new hotness and could be that change agent that is drastically different than the rest? I'm hearing your defense of your procured two finalists in your rankings, but do you think that there was an individual out of the four that could actually be that moonshot?
No.
No?
And to, I forget, maybe it was your comment, Mayor, about, or maybe it was yours, Nick, about Doug and SGR, and I fully agree. I think they did an excellent job. But ultimately, we have to make the choice. And, you know, I don't think, you know, it'd be easy to say, oh, there was somebody in the 55 that, you know, we didn't select a short list or select interview that would be the moonshot, but frankly, I mean, I read all 55 of those original applications at least two or three times, and there was nobody in there that I saw as the game changer. Maybe they were, you know, maybe it was somebody we didn't cut down to the 16, but what I saw, that in my mind, the distinction between Matt and Bo is Bo, for better or worse, is saddled with the legacy that he's created by his time in country here in Palm Coast. And Matt, yes, comes in with a fresh pair of eyes, but from a totally different state, with far less experience, I would say, than Bo in Florida law and form of government. And that can be an advantage. I'm not denying that. But I don't see him. I don't see him as the game changer, I guess, is the best way to put it. Not that he's a bad guy. I think Bo, Robin, or Matt could all function quite successfully as our city manager. But in a year, I don't think we'd be any happier with any of the three of them than any of the other three of them, I guess, is the best way I can put it. And that's why, in my mind, you know, go with somebody that's demonstrated their investment in Palm Coast and isn't going to be necessarily looking for a better job in a couple of years. If there are frustrations with Bo, I'm not 100% sure I agree completely with Council Member Howell. If I thought Bo was somebody who had to be molded significantly, I wouldn't support him. We don't need somebody, you know, to learn on the job. We need somebody that can manage 400 employees. We need somebody that can run the municipal services for 85, 90,000 residents, how many there are really out there. I think all three of them could do the job. I don't think any of them could do it significantly better than the person we've got here doing it. And if that person's performance isn't up to snuff once they are in the top job, then we'll all just have to, I mean, my approach to it is, I don't want to go through what we've been through for the last couple of months again anytime soon. But that's our job. I mean, if we're saying we want to fire Bo, then we need to fire Bo and we need to search for somebody to replace him. But I don't see any reason to do that. The three finalists we're looking at, to me, all have advantages and disadvantages, but I don't see any advantages in either Robin or Matt that leads me to think that, you know, if we make our expectations clear to Bo and that he is the top person with the authority from the council to do what needs to be done, that it will get done any more innovative or any less innovative than if we bring in Matt or somebody else.
Let me counter that point about, you know, Florida law and Florida rule. I mean, I will tell you the most innovative priorities that I brought to this council took place because I traveled outside of the state of Florida, away from the Florida League of Cities Conference, which to me doesn't add a tremendous value to my role as mayor. But when I did attend the United States Conference of Mayors, the mayor from Louisville, Kentucky, very, very innovative mayor, he was the one who brought back or allowed me to bring back his innovation district playbook, which I had given to each of you. Secondly, our entrepreneur ecosystem, the Kauffman Foundation, hosts an annual conference for mayors that, frankly, the value that I've gained from learning from outside the state of Florida has been instrumental. And so I want to offer that as, you know, my participation in this process thus far as an elected official and the ideas that I have brought forth were gained outside of the borders from different states that were looking at doing things a little differently. It started somewhere. And I am somebody who, you know, likes to take those risks in order to gain the reward. And so you know, I'm often asked to speak at Tallahassee Innovation Summits, those sorts of things about government and how we need to align with those strategies in order to advance the conversation in government. And so I've learned from people. I've learned from other leaders. Terry Takai, who's the head of digital government, the former CIO of Department of Defense, and Department CIO of Michigan, and General Motors. She spent her career advancing technology and innovative ideas. And she has taught me a lot and has brought forth a lot of ideas of stepping outside your comfort zone, of stepping outside the way you do things, and again, viewing things differently and taking the optics and challenging the status quo to advance you to a better place. And so that's where, you know, I come in, Councilmember Cuff, on the discussion of, you know, one over the other. To your point, I agree that each candidate brought forth a lot of valuable input, but I think where I sit in this moment of time is clearly I would rather view it from a different set of optics. You know, our department heads, you know, someone asked me the other day, well, what if city manager doesn't have a background in emergency management? We have a really good fire chief, frankly, that I was part of the Hurricane Matthew, and the city manager takes a back seat during that moment. Our fire chief is the incident command director, whatever their title is during that period of time, because there are plans that are put in place when a disaster hits our area, and it's not the city manager that's taking over. It's actually our fire chief that does. Just like, you know, when we have a budget question or something about, you know, our auditing practices or our budget director, who was, you know, trained under Chris Quinn, an exceptional finance director. You know, those are the questions that I ask. I mean, I think Beau's approach to things about, you know, combining public, you know, our public works department and our stormwater, those are things that you would hope a manager just does instinctually because it makes sense from a management perspective. But I just think what we're lacking, and to go back to that, is having somebody that does bring forth fresh ideas in a very creative manner, in a very creative manner. You know, go back to our fiber. Our fiber should have been advanced many, many years ago. The fact that we were running with an ISP that owed us thousands of dollars and just sat there, the fact that when I asked why the hospital left us as a customer and they were combining sources, well, why have we not revisited that conversation? Those are things that I want to see a manager step outside and do, not just keep us in this nice little box that runs things every day the way that it has been run. I have not seen anything that would provide me comfort that Beau would offer a different approach than Jim Landon brought as a manager.
Let me see if I could understand this here, because I think you used a couple of words that I kind of agree with. You asked, is there any safe choices? I think all three of them are safe choices, to be honest with you. But you also mentioned something that's very important. You said neither one of them is a game changer. So we do need a change. Is that what you're telling me? I'm trying to absorb all of that.
No. To your point, Mayor, and I don't disagree with anything you've said, and my comment about, you know, Florida law, I'm a Florida lawyer, so my mind gravitates to that, but I agree with you completely. But I would point out our last city manager, who is now apparently, whose name may not be spoken, you know, didn't come from Florida. And a lot of the reason we have, I think, such a robust emergency management response and such well-founded financial things, including the reserves that got us through two hurricanes without having to borrow money like a lot of municipalities, are, you know, at least in part, I think we all have to agree, because of his efforts as well as the efforts of our staff. So my point isn't that change and that a fresh pair of eyes couldn't be helpful in that change. My point is, based on my analysis of the people I consider to be the three finalists, could Matt do it? He could certainly do the job, but I think if we hire him because he quotes Roscoe Pound or because he reads ICMA journals about, you know, and I don't mean that necessarily as a criticism. I mean, he's applying for a job, and he's been out of work for 6 months. But the cities he managed in Washington State are far smaller than Palm Coast. I don't, and again, I'm not saying he couldn't step up for the job. I just don't see, and this is my personality. I don't see the point of making the change. You know, you make the change and you hope for the best. If a majority of the council thinks that's what we need to do, I'll go along with it. But I don't see what we're getting other than that new car smell by hiring somebody from out of town. I don't see any evidence in Matt's background that makes me think he'll be any more responsive to us other than the fact that he's the new city manager and he doesn't want to mess up his new job in a place that he wants to be. That's where I come down on it. And I was very, after Matt's presentation, I was very impressed, and I was almost ready to think, well, maybe Matt's the guy. And I'm still somewhat conflicted, as I think Commissioner Brent and Council Member Branchino is. But when I really lined all three of them up in my head and tried to think it through as logically as I could, I come down the way I've said that we're taking a chance, and I'm not against taking a chance, but I don't see what it gets us.
I think you're absolutely
what we have. You know, I'm sorry.
Oh no, yeah. Sorry. I think you're absolutely right. I think it is 3-1 on individuals who are thinking the same. And to Eddie's point, if we are actually talking about change and taking a risk, why would we want anyone who thinks the same? Why would we put ourselves in a position of, we may get someone who thinks just slightly different and maybe is going to placate to us just a little bit differently than they do today. If we're looking for a real game changer, maybe we should be looking at that one individual who's not thinking like the rest. Is there any argument that Mr. Hewley wasn't a bright individual who wouldn't necessarily make bad decisions? I mean, he is a talented individual who understands all of the initiatives that go into building a community. As far as our municipal services, because that's 100% of the revenues coming back into our city. If we're looking for fresh ideas around our community, maybe we shouldn't be looking at the three and we should be looking at the one.
I didn't get that.
Well,
I was comfortable with that. I did not get comfortable with that.
Yeah,
I mean, with all due respect, I do believe that, having Mr. Hewley as part of this team would actually transform our entire fiber approach, and I think he brought about some creative approaches on how to do that. But I think that's what he would be exceptional at. So I could not get to the level of being comfortable at that level. I think that the point about Matt Morton for me is he does bring about a different approach, but he also had more of that management style that I was comfortable with as far as ensuring we're keeping the wheels in motion, and that's where I stand on that. So
we got to make a wise choice, because I really don't want to go through this anytime soon. This is actually excruciating, even though that's what we were put here for. But this is not easy. This is a decision that, my goodness, God help me, because I need the help of God to do some of these things. You know, my other question was, do we actually make a decision before public participation?
We can put a motion on the floor and then second it for discussion. We'll have public participation at 1:00 for the vote.
Before we take the vote?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's very good.
So, I think there's a big decision before us. I'll put a motion on the floor that I don't suspect will be very receptive, but I think it would be indicative of my inner thinking and where I my heart of hearts truly is. I'm a bit taken back because I'm unsure now about our discussions on how we're actually going to move our city forward and what the one game changer is in this city, and how we get there. And I'm not certain that Bo can get us there. I'm not certain of Matthew Morton can get us there. I'm most confident in the potential and creativity of someone who's thinking differently as Donald, but I don't suspect that he has the city manager, gusto. He's not the guy to lead 500 individuals, but I think he plays a vital role in our city as well. First, I'll make a motion that we would hire Donald Cooley as city manager. No second. I understand. The second motion I'd like to put forward is that we would make Matthew Morton our city manager.
We will second that.
Second. Any further discussion? I'll open up to public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on this agenda item, please do so at this time. You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record. Your 3 minutes will begin.
My name is Celia Puglisi, and I'm really concerned about the way the motion is going right now. I live in Pamco since 1991. We were not a city, and we've been through two managers, and it's difficult to start a city. They start very good, but then given mainly to the growth that we have, and they don't do a properly growth management affects all of us residents, our lives, our quality of life, and it's costly to us. One of the main things the city has had has been the growth, the way the growth is being handled. Now, it's been mentioned right now as well that the most important thing we have on this council is the fiber optic and the internet, whatever, and I do not agree as a resident since 1991 because our problems here as a resident's problems is one, it's drainage. Second, the traffic that is affecting people's lives because some drives have been now designated in 2003 as thoroughfare for tank trucks and delivery trucks, and this affects thousands of people. Drainage, litter. Those are the problems that we're having right now. The city have created a BAC department for businesses welcoming, and it seems like it's not working for everything you say. Do away with the BAC and pay somebody that brings business. And I understand fiber optic is good, but it's for business, and it's mainly for business. One day we'll get it. We don't know when down the road because it's expensive for residential. But right now we have basic issues, which are the issues that I mentioned, drainage, traffic, everything, blight. All Pampos is blight. It's terrible. The rental units, houses, are maintained like an eyesore. All this blight in the F section will drive our prices down. We need to keep up the good job that it was done with the golf course, that the city have turned over to themselves the management of the golf course. And in my whole life, I have two properties around the golf course. I live in one. I never seen the golf course so used, so much attendance. That's meaning money. To me, I don't understand. With the golf course being so much used, I have friends that it's hard for them to get a time to play there. How come the golf course is still in the red? I don't understand that. I see it every day. So this is what I bring to you. My fiber optic, great, wonderful, but to me is the future. I'm 75 years old. My friends, other residents are my age. We have those problems. Traffic in Florida Park Drive. I followed the other day three trucks. One was a tank truck gasoline going 60 feet from the houses on a 30 speed limit road at 40 miles an hour, and there was a lot of traffic. This is what affects our people's lives. Some people don't care about the others. They put letters on the Observer, two ladies. Don't bother with Florida Park Drive. But they live where? I know one of them for years. They live off of Cimarron. One lives off of Cimarron on a nice cul-de-sac. So you have to understand, these are the problems. Mr. Stephen Carr, very much affected. He has a pacemaker by the traffic and the noise, 50 feet from the front door of his house. Because this Florida Park Drive needs to be a no-truck road. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, put a no-truck road.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you.
That's it.
Next speaker.
Louis McCarthy. Look, I've been here since 1993. And I can tell you right now, the only thing I have against the person that you mentioned is he's a one-horse pony. We need a person that's rounded. You also need somebody that you can, and I think where the council falls down on things is where they don't give time frames to do something to the manager. In other words, tell the manager, look, such and such about the gardens, you have 2 weeks or a month to clear that up and put time frames on the thing. You can do that with a Beau Fouillet. And I think he's settled here. He knows all the players behind him or who he has to work with and everything. Okay, so he doesn't crack that whip like a whole lot. He has another style other than cracking the whip. And a lot of times you don't crack the whip. A lot of times you don't need to crack the whip because by cracking the whip, it can bounce back at you. So I'm sorry I missed the meeting of Friday and everything, not to hear Morton and everything, because it sounds like he's a right guy, and I know that up in Washington State, where he's come from, is doing very, very well. But I still say, let's stay with the pony that we know and who knows all of the ramifications and put specifications on. It's up to the council to do this in such and such a time. Do that, you know, have this and such and such and such and such. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good morning. This is Neil Bach, Palm Coast. On purpose, I have not attended any of the selection committee hearings, interviews, whatever it was, because I have faith in the council of getting down to this point. Doesn't matter who you select, you're going to be stuck with them. People say the horse you know, the one you don't know. What did the candidates tell you about Palm Coast 5 years from now? Think about that. Did they even tell you anything? 10 years from now? 20 years from now? When they're going to retire? Okay, that's what you want to know. Where do you see this city in the 5 year plan, 10 year plan, and beyond? Not only DPW has one, the city should have one, the city manager should have one. Population growth causes a lot more work. The city manager doesn't understand all services. He's going to be relying on the city people in place. That's going to be difficult. This change is not welcome. We're going to be fighting change. So the city council, where do you want? You want Bo? Or do you, this guy Matt you've been talking about? That's probably your two candidates. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker.
Good morning. Bill Shelley, Palm Coast. The two that stuck in my mind was Matt and Bo. As far as Culey goes, tremendous person. I think it would be an asset to try to get him here in some capacity as a consultant or something. I agree with what needs to be done with our internet. As far as Robin Hayes, a couple things that she said struck me was, one of them was she wants a place that she can have to grow 2 to 5 years. To me, thoughts that if she reaches that part, she's going to be gone or looking for something new. So I don't envy you folks and your decision. You know, you got somebody that you have dealt with for quite a few years, and you got somebody new that could bring a change. I can't say one way or another. I don't want to say one way or another. It's tough for me in that position. I don't envy you folks, but I know you're going to make the right decision for the council, and it's great to hear everybody and their discussions. Great discussions, and I'm very proud our city council and the mayor for what went on today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, take it back to this council. Call to question. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Roll call. Vice Mayor Klupas?
Yay.
Council Member Brancino?
Harrison. Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuff?
No.
Councilmember Howell?
No.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Mayor, this motion passes 3-2.
Thank you. Okay.
I will entertain, or I will make a motion to adjourn our special meeting.
Madam.
So we have a workshop following this. We will take a 10-minute break before the workshop begins. Staff has asked 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, Madam Mayor, one of the things we'll need to do is receive direction on working with your selection to move forward with the contract. And I'm happy to participate in whatever role you dictate. Sometimes I've done that on behalf of the council. Sometimes I do that with a representative from the council. We can talk about this at workshop, but I'd like to
talk about it at a workshop. I will tell you my suggestion is going to be, since we do have an attorney, sorry, Bob, on this council, I would prefer that Bob Cuff work through the
contractual. I'm just looking for direction, Mayor. That's all.
With your participation, you do a lot of local government work as well, but it's nice to have a lawyer on our council.
Well, you don't hear that very
often. I know.
One other thing, actually, Mayor, before we adjourn, and maybe we can, as part of this discussion of Mr. Morton's contract, which I assume he will accept, but, you know, there's two sides to a contract. So to follow up on Councilmember Brancino's question, to the extent that we can, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I think we would be losing a tremendous asset if we do not do what we can to honor Mr. Falgo's request to return to his prior position as, you know, assistant city manager, economic development, whatever his title was. Whatever will happen, and ultimately it will be up to the person who winds up signing the contract and agreeing to come here as city manager. But I think we will be doing a tremendous disservice to the citizens of Palm Coast if we let that historical knowledge and local expertise slip away in our enthusiasm for the new hotness. I guess that's all I don't want to beat it to death, but I guess I don't mean to amend the motion, because I don't think we can direct the city manager as to what they do on that. If I didn't make my feelings perfectly clear during the discussion prior to voting, I just wanted to make sure that I said it now so I wouldn't regret not saying it.
Well, I think each and every council member shares that, so we will have that conversation with our city manager.
Actually, Mr. Morton spoke to me. And he said that's exactly, if he gets chosen, that's exactly what he wants to do. So.
And I will make the motion to adjourn our meeting.
Thank you.
Melissa? Mayor?
Oh, sorry. Mayor? Sorry. I keep forgetting your
name. I don't want to, because obviously I want to make sure I get some direction here as well. So obviously a difficult decision for you. I'm sure all the candidates appreciate the deliberations. I also wanted to get some direction on a couple things. Number one, the role that you would like me to play with regards to negotiation. I provided you some background information about the type of terms and conditions that would typically be memorialized in an employment agreement. And I've shared a little bit with your city attorney, but also what we normally would do is we would work with you, and I would play whatever role you would like in helping to bring the parties together, recognizing I always represent the city, not the candidate, but to try to help you bring this across the finish line and then get to some memorialized terms and conditions that could then be turned over and be formalized in an agreement that could be brought before your council for full consideration. So part of that's going to be compensation and some of the terms that I've identified that you need to address. It sounds like you're about to roll into a workshop. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in some other meetings here, so I need to know how you want me to interface with you, whether it's with the mayor, whether it's with Councilmember Cuff, or just some direction would be helpful at my end.
Yeah. I think, frankly, your participation and working through these negotiations will be important. I would like for us to be able to finish this out with this relationship, one that solidifies the relationship. Again, going back to the fact that we have a very well-qualified attorney that serves on our council, contractual understanding of how that works, and our city attorney who represents many cities, I can't think of a better team, frankly, all three of you getting together to make this happen. I will say this as a caveat. I know there's a new state law as far as the severance packages of local government management. You know, I concur with severance packages in regards to the limitations. I do not want to be put in the same position as we were with Mr. Landon. I do want to state that for the record. I think that put us in a very, very unfair position when we went to release him from his contract. So I would ask that we keep that in mind, that as we're going through this conversation, that I am not comfortable in any way, shape, or form, nor will I be if the burden of a lofty parachute is put into place. That is not something I will support. Is that clear?
Yep, understood. And may I? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's. I would just finish up comments. I was going to suggest to Bill and to Doug that I don't know when you're going to be available, Doug, but Bill and I can coordinate our schedules and meet. I like this Skype thing. It's almost like you're here. You know, we can talk about scheduling and your recommendations and so forth to get this moving after the meeting.
And I was going to ask if Doug would convey to Mr. Cooley the conversations that went on today. I'm sure that Mr. Cooley is probably watching, but if you could convey to him the conversations that happened today, that would be much appreciated.
And let me add, I am in complete support of Vice Mayor Kloof's position on Mr. Cooley. I think he would be a unbelievable game changer as far as our initiatives that we have prioritized. And to the council, and public conversations, and I appreciate everyone that has attended these meetings and also provided input today. We do value your input, and frankly, it's one we take very seriously. So thank you as well.
Okay.
Okay. Just to let you, Mr. Doug, thank you for making it so hard for us.
Okay.
Well, the job is, as I said, this is always a very difficult decision. I know you all went through the process and expressed your thoughts and opinions. One thing that you might want to consider if this ultimately comes back to you for your formal consideration is, now that you've kind of stated your preferences, is there a possibility that the board can get to a unanimous decision? Sometimes that's a factor, especially with a candidate coming from across the state, or in this case across the country, to know that they've got recognized that they do have the support of the council going forward as a group. And you can discuss that, you know, going forward, but
let me say, Doug, I think it's been made very clear that this council, each individual, although took a position in a formal vote, spoke very highly of Mr. Morton. There was not one council member that did not, so we need to relay that as well, that we thought he brought forth characteristics that would be of value to our city. One preferred another candidate over another. I understand why. Again, I understand why. So, but I don't think it was made as a discussion point to where they were not at least looking at the idea of Mr. Morton as a qualified candidate.
Without a doubt, you know, as far as I go, you know, the military mind says the decision has been made, so we move forward with a new guy, and I support him 100%.
Right. I appreciate that, and I'll convey that accordingly.
Yeah, make sure that you do make that clear, Doug, because he's got enough to worry about moving across a continent, assuming he does, to wonder whether he has our support. I don't want to go through this again anytime soon, so I'll be happy to do everything I can to make sure Matt Morton is the greatest city manager that Palm Coast ever had.
Okay. And then my only last question is who do I talk to as far as starting the process of negotiation with regard to the council's direction?
So Virginia will organize the scheduling between Mr. Reichman, Councilmember Cuff, and yourself.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
That's the best way to do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Doug. All right.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Good luck with the rest of your meeting.
Now we adjourn.
Now we adjourn.